My name is Elizabeth Blassfield, and I'm the East Region Editor for Insurance Journal. I spoke with Wilson Elser partner Paul White back in February about the spread of COVID-19 and how it's affecting the insurance industry. With recent developments over the past month, I wanted to check back in with Paul about how the insurance industry is responding, some of the questions regarding business interruption insurance and virus exclusions, and the insurance industry's continued role as the coronavirus pandemic evolves. Thanks for listening.
I know we spoke, you know, back in February about how you believe the insurance industry is pretty well prepared to handle a pandemic. And I was just curious, you know, how you've seen the industry responding to what's happening now as we're, you know, checking back in a month later. Is there anything that insurers have learned so far as this pandemic continues to evolve?
Policyholders are submitting a number of claims. I think tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of claims to insurers throughout the world and under a variety of insurance products. I believe much of the insurance industry was already organized generally to be prepared to address claims arising from a catastrophic event such as the COVID-19 pandemic. They've been able to rely on their already existing skill sets to put teams in place that can readily review submitted business interruption claims, event cancellation claims, travel disruption claims, liability claims, and litigation against both insureds and insurers to evaluate whether the issues presented fall within coverage, and if so, whether any conditions or exclusions limit or preclude coverage. So while COVID-19 is new and promises to bring with it an avalanche of claims to the insurance industry, many of the legal issues presented are not new, and insurers are equipped to address the issues. So they are using their already existing knowledge and skill sets to take on a new and different problem, but one that they are very able to take on.
Sure, that makes sense. And I know I've seen a lot of state insurance departments issuing bulletins regarding business interruption insurance in particular, and I know a lot of consumers have questions about what's covered and what isn't, but typically any type of pandemic or virus-related event is excluded from traditional business interruption coverage. Is that correct?
Generally, yes. A standard form policy is not likely to extend coverage for infiltration of a virus. Most standard form business interruption policies contain exclusions that expressly exclude coverage for a virus. These exclusions have been around for at least 15 years and are clear in precluding coverage. Just to give you one example, the Insurance Services Office, which I'll refer to as ISO, has form CP0140, which came out in 2006. It provides, in pertinent part, it's titled Exclusion of Loss Due to Virus or Bacteria. A, it provides the exclusion set forth in paragraph B applies to all coverage under all forms and endorsements that comprise this coverage part or policy, including but not limited to forms or endorsements that cover property damage to buildings or personal property, and forms or endorsements that cover business income, extra expense, or action of civil authority. B, we will not pay for loss or damage caused by or resulting from any virus, bacterium, or other microorganism that induces or is capable of inducing physical distress, illness, or disease. Significantly, when ISO submitted this exclusion to state regulators in July 2006, its circular, which is LICF 2006-175, expressly identified, among others, SARS as the virus from which COVID-19 mutated as a type of virus that the exclusion is designed to address. The ISO circular stated examples of viral and bacterial contaminants are rotavirus, SARS, influenza, such as avian flu, Legionella, and anthrax. The universe of disease-causing organisms is always in evolution. The circular further stated, although building a personal property could arguably become contaminated, often temporarily, by such viruses and bacteria, the nature of the property itself would have a bearing on whether there is actual property damage. an allegation of property damage may be a point of disagreement in a particular case. In addition, pollution exclusions are at times narrowly applied by certain courts. In recent years, ISO has filed exclusions to address specific exposures relating to contaminating or harmful substances. Examples are the mold exclusion in property and liability policies and the liability exclusion addressing silica dust. Such exclusions enable elaboration of the specific exposure and thereby can reduce the likelihood of claim disputes and litigation. While property policies have not been a source of recovery for losses involving contamination by disease-causing agents, the specter of pandemic or hitherto unorthodox transmission of infection material raises the concern that insurers employing such policies may face claims in which there are efforts to expand coverage and to create sources of recovery for such losses contrary to the policy intent. In light of these concerns, we are presenting an exclusion relating to contamination by disease-causing viruses or bacteria or other disease-causing microorganisms. Consequently, when you read the exclusion, when you read that explanation from ISO, there cannot be coverage for lost business income if the policy excludes coverage for a loss arising from a virus. So, yes, to your point, the exclusion is there, and not only is the exclusion there, ISO provided state regulators with a circular that expressly advised why it was presenting this exclusion, what it was intended to address.
That's great. Yeah, that's really helpful to learn a little bit about the background of this virus exclusion and policies. But with that in mind, do you expect that there will be a separate coverage made available for pandemic and virus-related business interruption loss in the future, you know, after what the industry has seen from this pandemic?
Well, insurers already offer specialized coverage for pandemic events. And just to give you a couple of examples, in May 2018, the Insurance Journal reported that Marsh, in collaboration with Munich Re and epidemic risk modeler Metabiota, had announced the launch of Pathogen Rx, a fully integrated pandemic coverage product. And I'm quoting from the Insurance Journal, using triggers like Metabiota's new Pathogen Sentiment Index, which provides extensive analytics into infectious disease outbreaks, businesses can model their potential financial loss from an outbreak and protect against the threat through an insurance policy underwritten by Munich Re. The policy is customizable and can be tailored to provide coverage for specific expenses, geographies, types of disease, or portions of a calendar year, close quote. But that's not the only product. Other insurance products may respond with an exclusion or coverage for specific pandemic threats. For example, the Ebola crisis prompted various insurers to expressly preclude coverage for Ebola-related claims, particularly for policyholders with foreign travel exposure to certain African countries where Ebola loss exposures were present. In contrast, in October 2014, the London market offered specific business interruption coverage to facilities such as hospitals, hotels, airports, shopping centers, restaurants, theaters, and gyms, or any other business that might be forced to shut its doors because of an Ebola outbreak. I will also note that some policyholders purchase coverage that may be responsive to COVID-19 under certain products and for certain losses. While the virus exclusion in business interruption coverage is getting a lot of attention, there are other headlines highlighting that some policyholders purchase policies that may provide some coverage. Just to give you a couple of examples, Law 360 recently reported that Swiss Re had said it may face a $250 million exposure if this summer's Tokyo Olympics are canceled. Similarly, Insurance UK Law 360 reported that travel insurers may face £275 million in virus claims. These are just a couple of examples of insurers looking at coverage and seeing it, that it may potentially apply in certain circumstances. And they're certainly not unique. The point is, insurance has existed and will continue to exist However, policyholders, brokers, and insurers will need to continue their efforts to assess such risks and weigh the price of obtaining or providing such coverage.
Sure, that's great. That's really helpful to know. And, you know, one of the things I've been following sort of related to this business interruption insurance topic is I know in New Jersey there's a proposed bill out there, New Jersey Bill A3844, and it's seen a lot of pushback from the insurance industry because it aims to require insurers to cover these COVID-19 related losses despite virus exclusions in, you know, their policies. Could you talk about some of the challenges that the insurance industry sees with legislation like this?
Yeah, first let's talk about that New Jersey legislature. So on March 16th, the New Jersey legislature proposed a bill seeking to force insurers to pay COVID-19 business interruption claims, notwithstanding the virus or bacteria exclusion that we previously discussed. The law was to apply to existing insurance policies as of March 9, 2020, that insured businesses with fewer than 100 eligible employees, which was defined to include those who are full-time and work 25 or more hours per week in New Jersey. In essence, the New Jersey legislature sought to eliminate the virus exclusion from policies and require property insurers to cover risks in New Jersey to pay for business interruption losses due to COVID-19, even if their policies expressly excluded coverage for the loss due to viruses. In proposing such a bill, New Jersey has sought to create coverage for COVID-19 losses, even under policies where coverage is specifically excluded. The legislature is essentially attempting to force private insurers to provide coverage and financial resources to small businesses that purchased insurance policies containing a virus exclusion. It's worth noting, such a bill poses potential violations of the contracts or impairments clause of Article 1 of the United States Constitution, which provides, and I quote, "No state shall pass any law impairing the obligation of contracts." In essence, New Jersey's proposed law would require insurers to provide coverage for business interruption losses in circumstances where relevant contracts do not cover and expressly exclude such losses arising from a virus. On its face, the New Jersey law would appear to substantially impair the rights and obligations of the parties to such a contract in violation of Article 1 of the United States Constitution. I know that the New Jersey law was tabled and was described as probably being tabled indefinitely, and then within the last couple of days, evidently, that has been lifted, and I have heard could be voted on as soon as today. I am sure this will continue to be looked at, but it is an issue that is going to be front and center as to whether or not a state can take action that otherwise limits or impairs an insurer and policyholder's contractual rights and obligations. The United States Supreme Court has specifically looked at the impairment of clauses under Article 1 of the Constitution and has come up with a two-part test. First, the court examines whether the state law has operated as a substantial impairment of a contract. Unless that showing is made, the court will uphold the statute and will not proceed to the second step, which is to review the purpose and necessity of the state law. The obvious challenge here is that it would appear that obligating insurers to pay what could amount to billions of dollars in otherwise excluded claims would appear on its face to be a substantial impairment of a contract.
Sure, that makes sense. And, you know, I've heard additional concerns as well, you know, that legislation like this, as you said, would have, you know, economic impacts. It could even, you know, drive carriers out of the state or put insurers out of business. Do you see these as concerns with this bill as well?
If the legislation proposed in New Jersey were to become an accepted template that, in essence, required insurers to provide coverage for losses arising from COVID-19, irrespective of the terms of the insurance contract, I believe the consequences could be devastating for the insurance industry. Estimates on the economic impact of COVID-19 are far from exact at this point, but I've seen estimates from the high hundreds of billions into the trillions of dollars. Draconian measures that preclude an insurer from being able to rely on policy exclusions and force the industry to cover losses that were not contracted for would set a horrible precedent. Similarly, if New Jersey becomes the model globally, the economic impact on the insurance industry could be devastating to the industry, which would in and of itself likely have a ripple effect on economies throughout the world. So yes, I have real concerns with the bill and the precedent that it's set, and think that it is misguided.
Okay, and I know that in New York, the Department of Financial Services has also asked business interruption insurers to explain to the department and their policyholders what their policies cover and if there's any coverage available for COVID-19-related claims. And, you know, keeping in mind what's happening in New Jersey and also, you know, how New York is examining business interruption policies, do you expect that more states will be following in New York and New Jersey's footsteps and examining, you know, business interruption coverage in their states related to COVID-19?
Well, let's take a look at what New York did. In light of the COVID-19 outbreak and the anticipated insurance losses associated with it, in a letter dated March 10, 2020, New York's Department of Financial Services instructed each authorized property or casualty insurer to provide certain information regarding the commercial property insurance it has written in New York and details on the business interruption coverage provided in such policies for which it has ongoing exposure. The New York Department of Financial Services letter was written in response to, and I quote, policyholders' urgent questions about the business interruption coverages provided by their commercial property insurance policy, close quote, in connection with the outbreak of COVID-19. Given the potential impact of COVID-19 and business losses, the New York Department of Financial Services considers, and again, quote, insurers' obligations to policyholders a heightened priority, close quote. The letter further stated that, quote, in the interest of the timely and equitable fulfillment of insurance contracts, insurers must explain to policyholders the benefits under their policies and the protections provided in connection with COVID-19, close quote. Specifically, as you go through it, insurers were instructed to provide the volume of business interruption coverage, civil authority coverage, contingent business interruption coverage, and supply chain coverage that the insurer has written. It further directed each insurer to examine the policies it issued and explain the coverage each policy offers in regard to COVID-19, both presently and as the situation could develop to change the policyholder's status. It also required the following information be included in explanations to policyholders: the type of commercial property insurance, whether the policy provides business interruption coverage or contingent business interruption coverage, and an explanation of the covered perils, whether the policy provides civil authority coverage, whether the policy provides supply chain coverage. The insurer's responses were due by March 18th. While I anticipate the New York Department of Financial Services was well-meaning in issuing this directive to insurers, it's imposing a burdensome requirement on insurers at a time when they are already being asked to respond to countless policyholders globally who are submitting claims. As with the New Jersey legislation, if governments globally were to use the New York Department of Financial Services directive as a template, insurers could become mired in responding to such directives when they're already pressed for time and their time is probably going to be better spent investigating, evaluating, and communicating with their insureds on individual claims being submitted to them.
Great. Well, this has been really helpful in answering, you know, most of my questions. My final question is just, you know, as this continues to develop, what do you see the insurance industry's role as, and, you know, how should the industry continue to respond or, you know, learn from everything that's happening right now?
I believe the insurance industry's role will be what it has always been, it will receive claims from policyholders, and in response thereto, will investigate the claims and communicate with the policyholders on whether or not the claims are covered or not covered, and whether or not policy conditions or exclusions will otherwise preclude or limit coverage. To the extent there are disputes, the insurers will then continue to communicate with their policyholder in an effort to see if those disputes can be resolved.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to check back in with me about this. This was a great discussion, and I really appreciate you taking the time to answer these questions.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Always good to talk to you.